Now on today's program, a Patreon patron select episode.
What?
Yeah, that's right. We'll get into it after the theme song, but this is We Hate Movies. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Welcome to the program. Thank you for tuning in. As always, like we said up top, this is Tango and Cash from 1989, sort of directed by Andrei Konchalovsky. We'll get to that in a second.
It takes a village to direct a movie, all right?
Especially a fucking Tango and Cash movie. So, like we said, this was a Patreon patron select episode. Now, here's the thing. Way back, in the month of September, when we started this Patreon, we were like, you know, we'll have this like $50 tier. If someone subscribes to it for at least 3 months, they can request an episode.
Maybe two people.
Yeah. Oh, two people. Oh, that's fine. Two people. We underestimated your enthusiasm severely. So we had to get rid of that tier because you'd be programming every show for the entire year. And, you know, and we don't want that.
It was just too complicated.
Yeah. We're not, you know what? We're a simple group of guys.
But we are.
Simple brains.
We thank the hell out of the people on any level of Patreon, yes. Obviously. Yes. But we do thank the hell out of people that paid this much money. It's just crazy.
That's right.
Especially our friend Lawrence, who did this, who wanted to hear us talk about Tango and Cash. So Lawrence, especially this one is for you. So everybody else, please turn the episode off.
Yes. just for him.
If this downloaded to your feed, that was a mistake. We were sending this privately to Lawrence.
And an email.
I had some very long talks with Apple. And
they assured us they blacklisted everyone's IP address except for Lawrence's. So thank you, Lawrence. You're the only person that will hear this episode.
Yes.
But, you know, things get out on the internet.
Yeah, they do.
You know?
I heard leaks happen.
Leaks. Yeah, these dirty leakers.
So if you're listening to this, this is an illegal leak.
Yeah, that's
fake
right.
News. It's a fake episode.
The leak was real. The podcast was fake.
You know what? Lawrence spent all this money on Patreon and everyone got to hear it. It's not fair.
So Tango and Cash, you guys, this is it's Sly Stallone and Kurt Russell on the screen fucking finally.
I feel like I would have nixed this if Lawrence wasn't so generous.
Yeah.
This is almost barely a movie. It's insane.
It's kind of crazy
how incompetent this movie is.
Gee, what a couple of boobs making this movie,
well,
man.
You can definitely feel, I mean, we said Andrei Konchalovsky has his name on this thing.
Yeah.
But you can definitely feel that there were five people on it at a different time.
Is five the tally?
Place.
I mean, because they had multiple directors for this movie.
Well, one was Stallone was the like overall director.
I feel that's the case with every Sylvester.
But I mean,
I feel like every time you get on set with Sylvester, like, you know, I do have an Oscar.
Well, it's funny because I read on the Wikipedia Digest. That he. Andrei Konchalovsky was actually like, fuck the producers, but Sly's pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah, he had great things to say about Sylvester Stallone, which I feel I would too if I ever got to work with him.
Well, maybe one day.
Fingers crossed my screenplay for Glass Table : the movie is greenlit by someone.
This movie is like, you know, like when you try to execute someone and you tie four horses to all their limbs, and then they pull, like, a horse pulls each limb off, you know, all at once.
Yeah.
And yet somehow they survive.
Exactly. This movie is being pulled apart four ways,
yes,
and then somehow there's still a movie on the table.
You're pulling me apart, Lisa.
My question is, did anyone get the cut, because I think there's a couple cuts of this movie, with the worst edit in history? It's where Kurt Russell is in...
Is it like a botched circumcision?
Yes. Wow, dude, that's a joke you would hear at the fucking Friars Club, which is under investigation for fraud. Did you see that headline?
What happened?
Some sort of pyramid scheme or something.
That sounds about right.
Okay.
No, but
turns out these guys aren't friars.
They were just wearing the hats.
They have nothing to do with that religion.
They're not brewing anything. They're not writing in books. No.
It's kind of a brouhaha.
It is a brouhaha. No, there's this. It's when Stallone and Kurt Russell are about to cut a deal with the DA, and they're working it out in the investigation room, and Kurt Russell, like, kind of cash puts his legs up. And it cuts like in the middle of that.
Yes,
it's crazy.
It's like a ridiculous jump cut.
Yes,
that just made it into the movie. Like I rented this on Amazon, man. It was the real deal.
Yeah, he's putting his legs up, and then quick, and then they're up.
Jesus,
there.
You know, I'm so glad that you brought this up because always full disclosure with me on this show. I was sitting here, a couple of tall glasses of water to the wind, and I'm watching. And I was like, "Oh man, that was that jump cutter." Oh. I thought I was seeing shit.
No, it happened. I saw it happen.
Don't tell me it didn't happen.
Just yeah, that's a real fucking flub.
That's incredibly unprofessional. Like that is the room doesn't have that. You know, you want to talk about the room and the football scene and whatever else. Yeah,
there's no awkward jump cuts in that football scene. Ah, the football scene.
Yeah, that's a well made movie.
It is. I was a craftsman. So this movie is about two cops who are from opposite sides of L.A. and they do things differently, who hate each other, who get framed by Jack Palance, who we'll talk extensively about.
You have to.
That's going to be all of it, I think.
And James
this
Hong.
Was, I mean, I think this was the year of Jack Palance.
It was.
Career.
Yes.
For reasons we'll get into. So it continues. Steve.
No, and
I'm
sorry. They get set up. They go to prison. They break out of prison. Then they take the guys down. And it's so incompetent. I mean, that sounds like a cool kind of movie, right? Like a buddy cop movie, but they go to jail.
Sure.
This feels like a sequel, by the way, right?
It feels like
Tango and Cash 3, The Big House.
And it would have to be 3. It wouldn't be the 2.
No, exactly.
Because the 2 would just be more of the same of the first one. And the third one would be like, you know what? We got to get him out of L.A. What can we do? You know what? Let's send him to prison.
It's true. You don't bring in the sister until the third movie.
Yes, exactly. No, exactly. Yeah, it's like, oh, I got his sister now. Uh-oh. We got to go to New Orleans.
Also, we're going to get a group married, right?
Married.
We signed us up for a cult.
Oh man, Tango and Cash 4, Colton.
Yeah.
Cult of personality.
Also, dude, the supercar in this movie, that's also a sequel. That's absolutely. Like, we got to make it bigger and better. Maybe they have a fucking fun car now.
That's the dumb gun from Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Holy shit, you're totally right. You have to save it for the 3.
or save it for the animated series.
And yes. Oh, yeah.
Man, and speaking of Beverly Hills Cop, they rip off the score.
Yep. Oh, I said this to my wife last night.
It's like the bastard child of the Fletch theme and the Beverly Hills Cop
theme. I think it's the same guy.
It probably is.
It's the guy who wrote Axel F.
The guy who... Yeah. Harold Flattermeyer.
I don't know.
You should know.
Is he dead?
Who cares?
Mrs. Flattermeyer.
Welcome to a new episode of
Is He Dead? Yeah, you know what? That's a podcast I could host. Figuring out who's dead. You know what this movie starts with, which you just laughing right away? Like before anything, it just goes, you hear Stallone, he's like, okay, let's do it.
And then the rap beat starts.
What are you fucking talking about?
He drops a beat. Sylvester Stallone dropped a beat.
He dropped it hot.
Let's do it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so, like,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, getting in my car and going for a ride.
You know, so I could put out a hip-hop album.
Mic check. Glass table. Mic check. Mic check.
Tango and Cash number 5.
By the way, he's Harold Flattermeyer. The internet ticker is going across the board here. Yes, he did do Beverly Hills Cop.
I thought you were going to say, yes, he did die.
No, he did not die.
Nice.
He worked on The Martian.
Oh, good movie.
Fuck you.
Was he nominated for an Oscar?
What do I care?
Fair.
Yes, he was.
Welcome back to Was He Nominated for an Oscar?
Best music for... Funny enough,
Tango and Cash,
Beverly Hills Cop 2, and that's it.
What? Was it a different? Was it a Calypso cover of Axel F? What the fuck's the difference?
It was called.
He added like one extra note.
Chris Cabin,
Axel F.
Shut up. No. For the song Shakedown.
Oh, I love Shakedown.
No, you don't.
I remember. I've seen Beverly Hills Cop 2 more than I've seen Beverly Hills Cop.
He was also nominated for a Golden Globe for not only that, but also Top Gun. Best original score.
Did you have the cassette and you were like, Mom, can we go to Coconuts and I can listen to Shakedown?
I didn't know. No, I would just watch the movie and have and like rewind the part.
Oh, for Shakedown.
Oh, we get some fucking wearing out the tape, huh?
Do 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 Shakedown.
You know, that sounds right. I don't know if that's right, but that sounds right.
That should be.
It's amazing, though, because that's so funny. Is it confirmed that it's the same guy who did Tango Cash? I mean, that's amazing, because, like, this dude was running on empty.
By the way, think of all the tweets I saved.
Yeah, that's, you know what? You're doing the Lord's work.
Jumping on the tweet grenade.
So the guy who did Tango and Cash did Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, Mr. Harold Flattermeyer.
Damn okay. Right.
Don't Flattermeyer yourself for remembering.
It makes complete sense because it sounds exactly like it.
It really does.
So we open on Robert Zadar's face. And
which, when you see that,
it takes forever to get.
You keep panning back. It's like focusing on a Star Destroyer at the start of a Star Wars movie. And it's just panning down. Like, wait, what is that? Oh, it's a ship. Oh, wait, it's a face.
It's so it's got ins and outs. It's
a lot of what have you.
Yeah, I mean, R.I.P. Robert Zadar. He was great.
He's dead. See, that would have been a great episode of Is He Dead?
That's you know. I'll tell you who got
Zadar
fucking...
is Zadead.
He wasn't at the Oscars.
No.
Why weren't we talking about Robert Zadar? Why didn't we stop the show and talk about Robert Zadar?
Because I don't think he was technically even in the Academy,
He was an actor who appeared in movies such as this one.
Yes.
He was the titular maniac?
Might be his biggest movie.
I think
that's a good call.
If they had let Stallone on the premises that year, I think he might have Bill Murray, Harold Ramis'd it.
Oh, nice.
Like in the middle of a thing, and by the way, Robert Zadar was just a class act.
I fucking teared up when Bill Murray did that at the Oscars last year. Woo!
Oh, I forgot already. What did he do?
He was coming out to do something, talking about comedy
or some shit.
But he just
Harold Ramis.
He slipped in a Harold Ramis ref.
I just want to say specifically that Robert Zadar was not entirely a maniac cop. He was actually a great dad and a wonderful man to know.
He was a good cop. What?
He was a fantastic cop.
Made beautiful glass tables on his off time. I bought many of them myself.
So Zadar is driving a truck and Stallone is on some desert highway or something.
Yeah, we're in the California desert and we're chasing after this truck and it's Stallone who is Tango.
Uh-huh.
Yes. The titular Tango.
By the way, Raymond. These names are stupid.
Of course.
Ray Tango.
Ray Tango.
That's a dude who grew up in a town in Nevada that's not Vegas, but they also think they've got cool casinos. That's where Ray Tango is.
Name of the worst cocktail you've ever had. Ray Tango.
Get me a Ray Tango rocks.
It's, you know, gin and foot sweat.
Yeah. That's when you have your wife send your out of office email because you had too many Ray Tangos last night. I can't look at the screen right now.
Linda. Call out of work for me.
I had so many Ray Tangos last night.
I'm shitting blood.
So, but the funny thing is, it might also be an Ellis Island chop job. It could have been Ray Tanganoloski or something.
Oh, that's
guaranteed.
True.
Yeah.
Or Tanganarelli kind of a thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Probably a Tanganarelli.
They'd cut that Narelli right off. You got to put that Narelli back on if you want it.
It's like a name circumcision. nip the tip a little bit there, right?
Yes.
Apparently, this was ripped off or borrowed from a Jackie Chan movie.
The stunt.
Police story.
Oh, really?
And, Stallone, which is a great movie.
And it was Stallone asked him to do it. I don't think he did. He was like, hey, Jackie, you ever want to make it to Hollywood? I'm doing this.
Yeah, you could buy
it's a great bit.
You could buy a ticket.
You know what?
Andre, I just sold one.
You know what's sad? Do you guys notice there was a film that came out last year starring one of the world's greatest action stars, Jackie Chan, and Johnny Knoxville?
Oh, yes. No.
Wait, no, I didn't hear anything about this. What? This sounds fake.
It's a movie that I almost watched four times and changed my mind. I forget what it's called, Slipstream or some shit.
Bad Grandpa?
No, not Bad Grandpa. I don't know. It's when something happens and Johnny Knoxville's got to team up with a Hong Kong detective.
Once a year, a Jackie Chan movie will get released in America.
Well, the thing is, Jackie Chan hasn't died on screen yet, so he wants to finish. You know what I mean? He's like, I don't want to die doing a stunt. I think that's his goal.
And he's been around
Do you think
He's been around forever, too.
Of course.
He was in Cannonball Run or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he's been
around. Making movies since the 70s.
Didn't he play the tramp? Did I make that up?
Or did he pick up a tramp?
No, was he in City Lights or no?
Yeah, so Jackie Chan, he falls in love with that blind woman.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great movie. He's
played Hitler in that other one.
Man, Jackie Chan remakes The Great Dictator.
Oh, man, who can forget Jackie Chan's first talkie?
But no, so, you know, whatever. He takes down Robert Zadar. We get a berugged Jeffrey Lewis as a put-upon police captain.
I love in anything.
But yeah, I love him.
He was great, speaking of dead.
He's dead, too?
He's dead, man. He died in 2015.
There should be an Action Movie Academy Awards where we celebrate these people, all right? And that's where we talk about Robert Zadar and Jeffrey Lewis.
Uh-huh. Hey, Spike TV, are you listening?
Oh, wait, you're no longer Spike TV anymore?
Oh, cool. What is it now?
No, I'm just making that up. It's hard to keep up with Spike
TV. My heart skipped a beat.
Boner Bros Productions. That's the new Spike TV. The thing that's ridiculous about this stunt, though, so, like, Stallone basically, like, stands in front of this truck that's barreling down on them, and he's firing wildly at the windshield, and Zadar's, like, somehow dodging these bullets. Maybe they're bouncing off his chin. I don't know.
Yeah.
And they come to
us. How do you miss that?
How is he not getting shot in the face?
I think the chin is just absorbing the bullets.
And it's not a shot. I love that face.
It's a great face.
This dude, you know, he was an ass kicker in his time. But so he jams on these brakes, which, like, you know, except for Steve, who has never had a driver's license, the rest of us, we
don't have a driver's license.
You know this.
Look, I knew that at one point. I'm sure.
But. Yeah, I know.
Why would he have had reason to change that status since the last time you knew that?
I don't know.
Anyway,
I'm only 33. All right, I've got a lot of figuring out.
A lot of living to do still.
Yeah, exactly.
We've all jammed on the brake before, right?
And you don't go through the windshield.
Can we make a coming of age indie movie about Steve getting his driver's license?
Oh, sure. That sounds great, actually.
Mm, yeah.
But these two dudes, not only do they fly through the windshield, which is ridiculous, but, like, the police department shows up and these California state troopers or whatever, and they're like, come on, scumbags, let's go. And they're, like, roughing these dudes up, and, like, Zadar's just getting up like, oh, boy, what happened? What happened was you and your buddy just went through the windshield,
also,
man.
Also, your spine is disconnected from your body.
No, totally. Do you want this fucking pelvis I picked up off the road?
No, you know, what happens is they stand up, and they're like, oh, what happened? And they look down, and they see their bodies. And they're
oh, it's
just
like Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey?
Exactly. They have to play, like, it would be Robert Zadar arm wrestling the Reaper, which I love this
totally.
Idea.
Yes, and both of them would collaborate on Reaper rap, and Stallone would guest on the track.
Yes, he would drop a verse.
Man, the Reaper rap. Someone should have went to jail for that. We already discussed that on a previous episode.
Bill and Ted's.
Yeah.
Where else is there a Reaper
rap? I don't
know.
The Seventh Seal?
Possibly Last Action Hero.
The Reaper in Seventh Seal is not rapping.
Well, he transcends time.
Ian McKellen might do it in Last Action Hero. I don't know. It's been a while.
That's true.
This movie kind of wants to be Last Action Hero. Like, it doesn't know if it is or it isn't. Like, this movie is almost a, like, pastiche of buddy cop movies,
right,
but it also turns into the skid too much.
Because, I mean, because we're really, really trying to make this movie funny.
Yes.
We're so trying to make it funny. But the problem is, a lot of that comedy is filtering through Sylvester Stallone.
And also that Rambo reference, Jesus.
Oh, that's in the first
Rambo God. Is a pussy. Is a Izzy.
Come on with these DOA jokes,
and
man.
He's like the buttoned up one, so he's playing against type by being a cop. By being the world's best.
But that's what doesn't make any sense. He's the straight-laced, well-dressed. He's wearing big horn-rimmed glasses. So he's like the straight guy.
Yeah.
But he's cracking way more jokes than Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell's just playing the traditional Kurt Russell greasy, bemulleted scumbag.
Yes.
It's the same character from Big Trouble in Little China. This could be a spinoff.
You mean Jack Burton.
Yes.
They should have swapped these roles.
Yes.
Because in Big Trouble in Little China, Kurt Russell was so funny as that when he was playing the button-down, like, dude going to the strip club.
Yes. That's kind of what you want.
It would have been funnier.
Because Kurt Russell is, in the 80s, what he did was he put his feet up on tables. Like, that's what his role was.
And I loved him for it.
He was fucking great at that.
And I mean, he's great now. He's a great actor.
He's a national treasure.
He is an absolute national treasure.
Fucking love Kurt Russell.
Don't you fucking talk bad about him.
I'm not. Oh, and he can do Button Down. He did Executive Decision with Seagal.
Oh, I forgot he's
He's wearing glasses in that.
He did button his shirt in that one.
He did. And I don't know if his feet touch any tables. I'm not sure.
God, but you just like that.
Hey Kurt, you
want
to put your feet up on that glass table?
That life. Greasy brown hair.
Oh yeah.
You're cracking an ice cold beer. You're wearing tight jeans and cowboy boots that are both stylish and super comfortable.
Yes.
You put your feet up on a nicely polished Sylvester Stallone custom designed glass table. And you make a quick wisecrack or two.
Uh-huh.
This was the existence of Kurt Russell for the entire decade known as the 80s.
And you one addendum to that is you always had a Murphy bed in your house. Like no matter what, yes. Like, you were in a one-bedroom apartment that it was like a living room. And it's like, oh, where's this bed? Oh, it's a Murphy bed,
and
of course.
Usually you could open it just by kicking the wall.
Yes.
Yeah, because you know why? You were cool as fuck.
Because
Kurt Russell rules.
I love it. I love it.
Welcome back to our new podcast, Kurt Russell Rules. Oh, dude, it should just be called Russell Rules.
Oh, we're taking phone calls. Unless you say Kurt Russell Rules, you are off the podcast.
Hang up on him. Hang up on him.
Hang up on him. He's the weekly part of the show where we read off the Russell Rules. And rule number one is that you never comb your hair.
You never do. You don't fucking have to because you're so goddamn cool. Your hair combs itself. That's Kurt Russell.
This is the one podcast where ladies could DM us on Twitter. we actively encourage that.
That's right. Hey, ladies out there, tell us how much you like the movie Breakdown. I mean, JT Walsh, Kurt Russell, obviously.
Number two, no light beer.
Oh, guaranteed, man. Lager or bust.
And I will be at a bar, the bar on 34th and Main. If anyone wants to meet me there for a drink, I'm incredibly lonely. Yeah. Kurt Russell rules.
I'll be there talking about Kurt Russell. So show up.
Sometimes I can't see through the tears.
I will be at Manganelli's Italian restaurant this Thursday hosting a trivia night. And that's right. Every category is about Kurt Russell movies and Kurt Russell's personal life, which includes a fictitious category about me and Kurt Russell being best friends.
And then on Wednesday night, I'll be at the Chinese restaurant on Main Street talking. Well, actually, I'm hosting a trivia night. We're talking Kurt Russell trivia. The first in the city, gang.
But please do not tell Manganelli's about the Chinese restaurant. And please don't tell the Chinese restaurant about Manganelli's. I do not want that mixed up.
Because really, if the truth is, I'm just using the same questions for both restaurants.
And at Muldoon's, I'm doing a ladies' night. And it's all Goldie Hawn questions.
They have the best relationship in Hollywood.
It is the ideal. It is the Hollywood ideal.
That their relationship is what I strive for in my personal life.
Welcome back to Russell Rules. I am single. Today we will be talking about Miracle.
Dude,
nothing but Miracle.
Every time I see
a baby.
Every time I see Kurt Russell, it's another miracle from heaven.
Man, that movie makes me fucking cry. Mm-hmm. And it's Kurt Russell that does it.
Of course, he's great. And we're having fun, but we love
fantastic.
Kurt Russell.
Fantastic.
You know what's not fantastic, though? It's fucking Tango and Cash.
So he goes back to exactly the apartment Andrew described. He's
complete with Steve's Murphy bed.
And there's like bills all over or whatever else is going on.
Oh, yeah. He's a guy who doesn't care for handling
paperwork. Sex
dolls.
The whole fucking
thing. Is there a sex doll?
No, there's not. Of course not.
And he runs
Kurt Russell would never need a sex doll?
Yeah, that's
it. Next question.
He ran
hang up on him.
Number three on the list. Never pay for it.
Well, caller, it sounds like your phone's having a breakdown. What other movie names can I say to hang up bozos?
Hey, caller, it sounds like your phone's having a Poseidon because you're drowning on the air.
Caller? Nice. Yeah, no, so you don't think that's a great Kurt Russell movie, huh? Well, you just got yourself a bone tomahawk. Ka-chunk. Ka-chunk hung up on.
Tom, there's no callers. No one listens to this podcast.
But why does he have a producer who's talking to him from the engineering?
Dude, it's all in his head. It's like fucking the king of comedy.
Oh, even better. Even better.
You're going to say split.
He's playing what he would do if he had a
show. Oh, man. That's a fucking great idea for something.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Short story or otherwise.
The shorter, the better.
He runs afoul of an Asian assassin. In one of the various cuts of this movie, apparently he's fighting this guy, and he says, "Man, I hate you karate guys." And it's like...
Oh, he sure does. What? Also... When he gets home, and it's after a long day of policing,
mm-hmm.
Speaking of the score, he has, like, the light, like, it sounds like this dude, this friend of ours who scored this movie, who is alive still, was, like, ripping off Baby Elephant Walk. Like, Kurt Russell gets into this disgusting apartment, it's like, and Kurt Russell's like, open a beer.
Because he's just a fool, isn't he? Isn't he just a jolly fool?
He has the jolly fool score, and it's so really annoying.
Because he's having a good time, man. Just fucking go with it.
Just before he gets shot in the chest twice.
Dude, he gets blown away by this guy.
But thank God he has...
Blown away? Isn't that a Kurt Russell movie?
No, that's Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh,
Jeff
Tommy
Bridges.
Lee Jones and Jeff Bridges. Excuse me.
He's got a backdraft.
Hang up on him.
But he's got bazooka boots.
Oh, yes. My God. He totally does.
And he shoots at this guy. It's like a little missile. Is he fucking Cyrax?
No, I think he's more Russell. A taxi driver.
Oh, my God. Oh, like Kurt Russell would have made a great Striker. I think Striker is modeled off of Kurt Russell.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be taking calls about how good Kurt Russell would be a Striker.
This is the beginning of the week. We talk about nothing but Dark Blue.
Oh, man, that's a bad movie.
All right, what video game movie do you think Kurt Russell could do? Yeah, definitely Solid Snake. We talked about that for 3 hours last week. We can go back into it.
Press 3 if you think Battle Toads.
Maybe one of the Contras.
Dude, that's a fucking great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right?
I'm not even...
No, wait. Here's an idea. Here's an idea, dude. He's both of the Contras, and it's fucking dual screen like Army Hammer and Social Network.
Yes, yeah. Dude. You get Kurt Russell in blue pants and Kurt Russell in red pants.
I get both with bandanas.
What a double Russell.
What I love about this is that I'm not sure if the audience could hear from our high horse is we're talking about what if our show was just only slightly different. Wouldn't that be ridiculous?
No, you know what? No, hang up on that. He would be awful as Booger Man.
Oh, man.
Booger.
That game sucks.
It was awful.
But he would make the 90s were kind of a terrible time for video games.
Halfway decent Earthworm Jim.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Now, are we talking like he's got a bunch of prosthetics on, or this is like voicing a CGI character?
Oh, God, not a prosthetic. That's disgusting.
No, no, no.
Can you imagine, though? That's what I'm saying. How horrifying is that?
David Cronenberg's Earthworm Jim.
I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. It's going to be a prosthetic, but it's just going to be like they're going to make his mullet flesh colored.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's it, dude.
Oh, it's like really Dennis disgusting. Hopper and Mario Brothers.
Yeah. You know how good that movie was.
So he gets it. I mean, like he takes down this assassin. They go to a whatever. They go to a warehouse. The action isn't great in this movie, I'll be honest with you.
No, I mean, he chases after this dude because this dude shoots Kurt Russell out of a window.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And he does have rocket boots, which is so... I didn't even think... I knew what I was watching because we don't get into the James Bond part of this until like... an hour and a half in, and
yeah.
I'm like, wait, what? Where?
And then it's too late for surprise gadgets.
I thought he just had a leg gun that he pulled out. No, but apparently you're right. He does have rocket boots or whatever, missile boots, Cyrax boots.
Well, because apparently the LAPD has this whole branch of like advanced weaponry.
Whatever, man.
So Kurt Russell pursues this guy in a parking garage.
Yes, this is very important.
This dude's driving it like a Bronco, I think, actually.
It's a white Ford Bronco.
He's going a little faster than OJ did. And this is just an excuse to someone. Oh, wait. What? Oh, there's people neck and back seats all the time.
So, all the time.
So this couple's been fucking in the back seat.
Just fucking in this parking.
It was 1989, Eric. Where were they supposed to go?
You needed the boobies in the movies.
Yes. Yeah.
And this is your one. This is the one shot. In the whole running time of your boobies in the movies.
But you know what, though?
Welcome back to Boobies in the Movies.
A podcast no one wants to listen to. Actually, unfortunately, a lot of people.
We are on the Mr. Skin Network.
But the thing about it is, like, if this movie hit credits, I wouldn't be like, where was her boobers?
Yes.
Because I'm watching fucking Tango and Cash. Like, come on.
But you got your shot. There it is.
But yeah, it's also
she
like,
looks up, she looks up at the destruction going on in the parking garage, right, and you see them. And
it's
and
played
then
for
on
a joke.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, it reminds me of the unnecessary nudity in the first Die Hard movie.
Mm.
When the terrorists, like, break into the office and the couple's, like, fucking at the Christmas party. Party, and the woman runs out and she's topless for like no reason.
Or Demolition Man.
Where was the pointless nudity there?
Oh, the phone call.
Oh, hi, Martin. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, right.
See our episode like 3 weeks ago when we talked about Demolition.
This is all just for that, to so people rewind the tape enough and it breaks and they have to buy another
one. Well, I think that's something in Stallone's contract.
What's the movie called? Is it Tango and Cash? Oh. Maybe throw me a nip, Sly. Throw me a nip. If just one, that's all I need.
If you want to be on Cinemax, you need to.
You need to have the boobies in the movies.
Unsubstantiated claim here, because we've never seen Martin Cinemax. But we know that's a nom de plume,
right?
Yeah,
maybe he's Steve Bannon, possibly.
Oh,
sure.
Because that dude did work in the entertainment industry for quite some time,
and that dude looks disgusting.
Also, two things that we know for a fact.
But you know what Bannon's missing though? What I believe Martin Cinemax would have is a mustache.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes. But I don't know
what he looked like back in the day.
That's actually true.
Launching the Cinemax, you know.
Devil takes many forms, Eric.
That's right. I mean, he does have the bloated, rosy, disgusting, pus-spewing alcoholic face.
Yeah, it's like Jabba Doo Hutt.
Yeah, that Martin Cinemax would have. So if Steve Bannon grew a mustache, bing, bang, boom,
also,
you got
I
yourself
think,
a fake character.
Just put that on InfoWars. I'm just saying it's possible.
Also, I think his tongue would have to be about just a little thicker.
Mm-hmm. And, bifurcated.
How many times... Let me get this straight. Chris Cabin, you have examined Steve Bannon's tongue.
Yes. I've felt it, given it a good feel.
In this scene, so Jeffrey Lewis is Tango's captain. Do you know anyone notice who Cash's captain was?
Mr. Brown.
No, noted criminal. Mr. Blue, Eddie Bunker.
Oh.
Brown is Tarantino.
Oh, Brown is Tarantino. You're right. Ooh. What do you mean noted criminal Eddie Bunker? What's that about?
He's a Danny Trejo type. He was like, he went to jail.
Really?
He wrote the book and movie Animal Farm or Animal Fact. Not Animal Farm.
Animal Farm was indeed George Orwell.
Yeah.
Who was also Danny Trejo.
Oh, yes. Animal Factory. Okay.
Animal Factory.
Oh.
Yeah,
what's
he's
Animal Factory?
It's a movie where Edward Furlong goes to prison.
I think Willem Dafoe is his father figure.
Yeah.
Oh,
but, I mean, like, that's Eddie. I mean, like, how many dicks is that? I used to like her early stuff, you know, Borderline. Then she got into Future Face.
You know what? You rewatch that movie. That's a frustrating conversation to fucking listen to.
Well, the funny thing
is, it's almost like listening to a podcast.
Eddie Bunker's R.I.P. by the way, but
long
Bunker
dead.
In the bunker. Yeah, I'd be tuning in. When did he die?
Mid 2000 maybe.
Man, there's so many people we got to visit.
You better believe he fucking got farina'd, I bet.
That's why we need the Action Academy Awards. Eddie Bunker would be there.
Yeah, put all those scumbags over on the Spike TV Awards show.
The Sling TV Awards.
Dude,
show.
Oh man,
no one would.
How
fucking
much time
show up?
You want? 5 hours. 7 hours.
You know what?
We got nothing to program.
We'll give it to you. This is Sling TV.
This would just turn into them showing the movies and interstitially have a guy going like, "Yeah, and that guy died,
dude." That
is pretty great, huh?
That's a fucking great thing. It's just us doing commentaries over TV broadcasts, and it's like pop up video, but it's just like, "Yeah, he's dead."
Bloop bloop.
He's dead.
Bloop bloop. Pop up action.
Pop-up video.
Yeah. I'd tune in to listen to myself.
But there's not enough Eddie Bunker in this movie. He's like got glasses and he looks scummy as Eddie Bunker did.
Well, here's the thing, and this is the mistake I believe they make with Danny Trejo, is less is more.
Yeah, yeah.
Eddie Bunker, which I just keep thinking Archie Bunker. Is weird. But Eddie Bunker, you know, noted criminal apparently. Not so much noted actor. Kind of...
Don't tell that to the Action Awards.
Well, Eddie Bunker himself is dead.
He walked next to Harvey Keitel in a movie.
I mean, that guy's in slow motion.
Yes. Yeah.
What happens to Mr. Blue?
You don't know.
No, he gets. I think he crashes a car and dies or something.
That's Brown. That's Tarantino.
Brown?
Yeah.
Oh man, we're mixing our blues and browns.
Somebody saw Reservoir Dogs a lot in the 1990s by himself.
Oh, man. Steve also had a lot of Reservoir Dogs posters in our college dorm.
Of course, why not?
Come on.
It's college. That's where you put those posters. You get that one. You get the John Belushi one. You get a couple of Bob Marley's up.
Yeah, and then you're single for a very long time.
Very long time.
Yeah. Hang up on them.
Yeah, guaranteed.
Uh-huh.
So Kurt Russell's trying to get to the bottom of this. So what he decides to do is interrogate this fella in the bathroom. Here's the thing about this police station bathroom. You ever see a bathroom where there's like a table and chairs set up?
I thought this was an interrogation room. I didn't get bathroom.
I totally
was there
thought
a toilet
that
in there?
The dude is literally going to the bathroom.
The guy takes a piss and then there's
Okay.
And there are lockers.
You know what? This might
there
be a,
too.
This might be a laundry room.
No, I thought it was like one of those Star Trek things where two rooms like meld together at once.
Yes,
how is that a Star Trek thing?
This is Star Trek. Yes.
I actually, you know, I'm glad you mentioned Star Trek because if Picard goes into the holodeck and his holodeck action movie, please. Tango and Cash happens.
It's
Picard in Tango and Cash because that's how generic this is.
I would love that.
Yes.
Look, it's Tango, Cash, and Jay Picard. J.L. Picard.
Is that Jack Palance?
Oh, my favorite of all the 20th century actors, Mr. Data.
Time has not been kind to you, friend.
Oh, man. You know what was cool? When Jack Palance won that Academy Award for City Slickers and he did one-armed push-ups.
Absolutely. That's...
That is a lifelong character actor getting his due and making the most of his time.
And the whole country wept at it. You know, everybody
guaranteed.
Watched, and you know, one of the dumbest things you'll hear on a podcast, which I hear a lot, is like, and you got to remember at this point, this is like pre-YouTube. Like, people will talk
say that on podcasts.
People will say that like about a movie in the 80s. Like, yeah, and like, if that happened now, people will be like, oh, that's on YouTube. You know, like, it's like, whatever, man. Something happened on television, jeez, people watched it, people reacted.
Hang
to
up
it.
On them. On this on this podcast, we only say pre 9/11.
That's the benchmark. Yeah. But, yeah.
That was also before YouTube. Turns out 9/11 was before
YouTube.
That
would have been great on YouTube.
So he interrogates him in a bathroom, I guess, and he goes to a warehouse. And apparently, we cut to Jack Palance.
Yes.
And he's your classic. I mean, like, he is the bad guy from McBain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
From the Simpsons McBain. Like, he's got like a wall of televisions, obviously.
That wall of televisions is awesome.
He's also doing like video chats with people. Which
Skype, Skype calls on the TV.
And it's one of the technology.
It's one of the fake movie versions of that, though, where it's Jack Palance just jawing at a bunch of tube TVs. There's no camera in sight.
He's yelling at James Hong for most of this movie.
It's James Hong and some other guy. Yeah. Is this third guy anybody?
No.
Because otherwise, he's just rando Italian guy.
This has got such a great cast, mentioning James Hong and also Brian James,
who
I love, who is bad in this movie, but
also,
I love.
Also dead, also would be on the Action Academy Award.
Is James Hong dead?
No, Brian James.
I think James Hong's still alive.
Oh, God, I hope so. I'm going to the Tribune.
Yeah,
continue
you do that,
talking.
I'm
going to
talk. Brian James would be the Oscar. Like,
oh, you
get a little golden
Brian
James.
Yes, you're
would
right.
Would there be a ponytail or would that?
There would have to be a ponytail.
There has to be a ponytail. That's what differentiates it.
That's
from
what
the
I
Oscar.
Remember about Brian James.
Just put a ponytail on Oscar.
I got a four Brians last year for Expendables 3.
No, thank God James Hong is still alive at the young age of 87.
And if you're listening to this in the future, he's dead.
Yeah, please don't tweet at us that, oh my God, he died and you said at one point he was alive, because sometimes people are alive and then they die.
Oh, right. Yeah, I heard that. A lot of people like to bring up that some people die.
This is what's crazy is, like, you'll see a thing, someone talking at us on the internet and they're like, you know, do you guys know it's weird? Do you feel weird? You made that Paul Walker joke? And I'm like, you know, this show's been on the air for 7 years.
Hang up on him.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people can die in 7 years.
Oh, it's fine. Thank you for listening, though.
Also, here's a weird thing, just looking at the great James Hong's IMDb page, in development, untitled James Hong film.
What?
Starring James Hong.
Oh, shit. Is he directing that film?
Dude, apparently it's written and directed by James Hong.
Oh, fuck.
Please, yeah. Please make this movie.
John, John Malkovich, but it's being James Hong.
I oh, would man. Go see that.
In fucking Cartwright. Four.
He's amazing.
Love him.
So, yeah, Palance, it's about coke, right? Well, he also, he's like.
It's always about
coke. It's coke money because the gas.
But he's talking about
the gas tanker that Zadar was driving was full of cocaine, and this is it's a big cocaine plot.
And they drove the guy who owned it drove right past the crime scene.
Yeah, of course he did.
Oh right. We are introduced to him in the first scene of this movie. The police department is there. This truck, Stallone has fired into this truck. Cocaine is falling out of it. And this limousine drive in the middle of the desert. A limousine drives by.
Of the county sheriffs are there. Just hanging out. And you're just
I think Palance has the window rolled down.
Oh, damn it. Oh, look at that. Tango fucking with me again. I hope that any of these cops don't talk to us.
It's insane.
We have no reason to be in the desert, Tom. A limo in the middle of a desert.
Why
not
also?
Not suspicious at that all. That was my number one coke.
If you are hiring Robert Zadar and other guys to drive this coke truck.
Yeah, take the.
What? Don't you trust? What the fuck are you doing?
Stay at home.
You are the crime boss. Well, you stay at the hideout.
I'm training them. This was their trial run. First day. I'm going to shadow you. Make sure that you do your job. The way you do a Jack Palance is you have to pretend that you have to take a shit. And it's taken so long, you're afraid it might not come out quite so soon. Oh, one false move set the whole thing ablaze. It's just gonna turtle head all day. I've been standing outside this Starbucks restroom. Is anyone inside there? Do you have a key? Have you checked the handle? I think he might be sleeping in there. You look like the manager. Could you just get in there, please?
Man, to have the look of a Starbucks manager, I don't even know what that means.
I think this coffee is working. You're gonna wanna get that door open. Oh, Susanna.
I mean, I guess now that we're in full Palance here, I can talk about the fact that this was a massive year for Jack Palance because he played the same character in Batman.
He did the exact same.
He is just doing the same thing.
He's more grounded in Batman. I'm sorry. His character makes more sense.
He had one director, not 70.
Yes. He's a mob boss, you know what I mean? And he's got a girl, and he's like, hey, is that you, Sugar Bumps? Which is my favorite, or whatever he says. But, like, it's weird. Like, in this, like, they're like, oh, we should just shoot Tango and Cash in the head and be done with it.
Oh, no, the great game begins.
It's like, what are you talking about?
Tango and Cash.
He pulls out a mouse.
I don't understand what he's doing.
He pulls out two mice, by the way.
Boy, two mice. The first one, he's like,
followed with a thing of cream.
First mice gives up and drowns. Second mice, well, he struggles so much he turns that cream into butter.
Let me get this straight. You want a bar with a rat maze built into it?
Yeah. So the first mouse represents Cash.
He's like, oh, hey, look, it's Cash.
And then the second mouse represents Tango. And he puts them both into a maze. And he's like, and that maze is jail.
And so, and the rats don't move.
They don't.
Just stay there.
Good job, rat. If all goes according to plan, Tango and Cash will stay in that corner.
Stupid. What he says is like, look, these guys, Tango's messing up my operations on the west side.
Right.
Cash is messing up my operations on the east side. I'm losing all this money. And he goes through, like, I'm losing money on gambling, cocaine, and other enterprises.
He does mention guns.
He does say guns.
He says, what's the thing? He's like, you know, collectively, they've cost me about $400 million. Yeah.
at the time being exactly $10 billion.
I mean, yeah, we're talking 1989 money, but also it's amazing because as over the top as this character is, this performance is, I got to tell you, for losing $400 million, this dude's pretty level-headed about it.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, he's got enough money to make rat mazes in the middle of his...
Or own a wall of TVs.
Well, that's because you can tell that somebody had read the script. Said,
you can tell somebody had,
said,
I can't.
In this scene, you have to have something. Think visually, idiot who wrote this. And they made a fucking rat maze in his bar.
It's just, it doesn't make any fucking sense.
It looks like
you gotta make him like a ratman. Like he's just obsessed with rats.
Oh. A rat king, if you will.
Yeah.
Well, he does like also, he later, he starts making out with a mouse a little bit.
He does.
Oh, I must have missed that.
Yeah, but, that was something.
And but then he has someone lowered into his anus.
So, but James Hong, fetish. James Hong and this other guy represent other mobsters. And he's like, all right. They're like, well, why don't we just kill them? He's like, no. We'll put them in jail. We'll discredit them. And it's like, oh, okay. Or we could just shoot. Yeah. If we can get them to where we want to get them, let's shoot them in the head.
We have people that will drown them.
He's like, oh, that would cause a war with the police, which you kind of are at anyway if you're a crime boss.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Like, none of this makes any sense.
No,
it doesn't. Also, why doesn't James Hong, who's an accomplished criminal himself, with a character anyway.
Of course.
I don't know about James Hong's personal life. Maybe he's also an accomplished criminal. I don't know. Maybe
Eddie Bunker is an accomplished criminal. R.I.P.
Maybe he's a Danny Trejo. Not R.I.P. You know, but like, why doesn't James Hong just be like, all right, you know what, Cartwright? This is fucking stupid.
I'm going to kill him.
Yeah, I'm going to take it upon myself because, you know, presumably I also have an army of hitmen.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to just do this because you're crazy and giving me this rat demonstration.
Which does nothing, by the way.
It makes no sense. I'm wasting my time on this 1989 video conference
call. Wait. You also want carpeting under this?
Well, it's 1989. It's not going to carpet itself.
Well, I mean, the client's always right, I
wall
guess.
Wall to wall. So, whatever. They set up Tango and Cash. Brian James is... The Asian hitman says, hey, go. There's a deal going on at this location.
Some address he gives.
Blah, blah, blah. Tango gets there, too. There's a dead informant tied to a chair.
It's an undercover FBI agent.
That's what we find out because Papa Arquette shows up.
Oh, right.
And
was that Louis Arquette?
Louis Arquette is correct.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. He arrests them both because they're caught. You know, oh, my God, did they kill this guy? And then they're like, there's this perfect tape that guy was wearing a wire.
Right. Yeah.
And like, there's this amazing tape.
There's
of
some
them.
Fat guy in a car who made a tape.
No, the tape is made by
Brian James.
No.
Michael Jeter.
Michael Jeter.
Yeah,
is the audio technician who makes
yes,
the tape.
Of course.
But it's one of those things where it's like the edited footage in that episode of The Simpsons with the gummy Venus de Milo.
Yes.
You know, Mr. Simpson, no! Like, it's just like, it's supposed to be Tango and Cash talking about, like, they're threatening this man and then they murder him.
I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, it's kind of clear that that's what's going on, but like, so they're framed, whatever, they're on trial, and so they have audiophile expert Michael Jeter.
But by the way, speaking of Cartwright,
oh yeah,
the lawyer for them is Mr. Lipton.
Lipman. Yeah, from Pendant Publishing and Top of the Muffin to you. So they have this trial. It's kind of a Mickey Mouse thing. They're getting really sent up the river here. But yeah, so Michael Jeter's this audio expert, and he's like, yeah, that tape's legit.
And they're like, yeah, that's it.
And I'm like, did you listen to that? Hey, judge, did you listen to that poorly made tape?
No, he said it was good. It's good.
So the evidence looks bad, and they take a deal, right? And
yes.
they're cops, and they kill somebody. So the deal is they get to get off. I mean, the fact that they're on trial at all is quite amazing.
Pretty something.
Well, yeah, it was 1989, man. Mm-hmm. It was a different time.
Right, yeah. They should have just... I don't know why they press charges against.
They should have been able to walk away laughing.
Yeah. But so they go. They go. they take a deal for 18 months for voluntary manslaughter.
A
and this
year
tape,
and a half.
If you believe what this tape is saying, is that they killed this guy in cold blood for drug money, and the deal is 18 months.
Well, shit, man, I'm going to start killing people.
Yeah, for drug money.
Yeah. And the whole thing too is they specify, they're like, all right, man, like we'll do this, we'll do the time. Mm-hmm.
in a minimum security. Yes. You know, they make the joke like you club fed, whatever kind of thing.
And they're not too upset about it either. Like, oh, can we get this over with, please?
Yeah, it's a real, like, this could be worse situation. Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking I was going to start trying to go through this the Stephen King's novels. and the library here is stacked.
I get a lot of reading done in jail.
You do get some prime Kurt Russell cursing in this scene.
Yes.
Where he calls it like, fucking bullshit. Like the way he does it. Oh man. You can't even touch it.
You hear this, it's like your dad's yelling at you. Mm. It's fucking great. Like we curse constantly the remote down on this show. I can't curse like Kurt Russell. Man.
I put the remote control down on like just instinctively. Oh, I'm in trouble. Like,
yeah, totally. I mean?
Oh no.
Yeah, no, it's great. Okay, yeah, because the whole thing is like the joke again. Because we're just so attempting comedy in this movie is like Stallone gets up. He gives this like very eloquent. You know, I believe in the police department. Yeah.
I'm the very best.
Yeah, you know, everyone here is a hero, kind of a thing. And then they're like, you know, oh hey, Cash, do you have anything to say? And he's like, yeah, I do. And they're like, no, sit down. And he's like, this is fucking bullshit. And it just starts, he starts railing into it.
Calm down, Cash.
But then what's hilarious is like all the cops that are like in the audience of the court are like, you know, cheering like it's, you
know. But again, they're being
a game show.
But their thing isn't even like, oh, we did. This guy was fleeing. Like they supposedly killed this guy in cold blood.
They tied
for drug
up,
money.
They tied up and executed this guy.
And you'll never be cops again.
Yes. No. Exactly. Yeah. Like that's off the table.
But that's a thing that's never discussed. Though it's like 18 months. Like then we'll just get back on the job. It's like no.
You're gonna work at a mall in security at the mall until it shuts down.
Yeah. Until that mall inevitably goes out of business when they invent something called Amazon.
Oh, well, the one stupid thing is...
the one stupid thing with Tango and Cash.
Tango
is
rich, and he only does policing for the juice of it.
Oh, yeah. That's a weird detail,
he's
right?
Like, oh, I'm really into the stock market. I made billions of dollars.
Wow. It's a real Max Power. You want to talk about The Simpsons? It's like, it's Max Power. Like, he's rich, and he's a cop reason.
He's a Mary Sue.
He's a very much of a Mary Sue.
He's Marty Sue.
Oh, yeah, right.
Hey, but, I mean, Mary nothing. Yeah.
Well, the thing about it is, though.
You just call me Mary.
It's ironic that he is the Max Power because it's only with Cash that you strap yourself in and feel the G's.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the thing. He's clearly the G giver.
I will say that most of this movie, when you watch it, it's Stallone's fingerprints are all over it because Tango is like kind of Cash is kind of the comic relief to Tango's awesome cool guy.
But Tango is making jokes.
He is, but they suck. Like, but Cash kind of winds up in humorous situations.
A better comedic actor.
Cash is the one that is in drag later
and
in the
film. Precisely. Here's the main thing: is Cash clearly fucks.
Yeah,
he fucks day and night,
Tango,
sucking and fucking until the
dude,
sun
Tango
comes
does
up.
It Tango all. Might fuck, but it's really scary. Whatever it is, it's really scary.
Oh, it's like 50 Shades of Tango? Is that what we're talking about?
Much worse. Yes,
it's American Psycho, I think.
Oh, my God.
It's Stallone like in a shower. Like, I use milk bath from the face.
I think he might he might have a B-movie thing where he... Oh, yeah. Oh my God! You're 7 feet tall.
Well, that's Brigitte Nielsen, man. Look out!
Yeah, it's up there.
Bench press me.
Bench press me.
Then I'm gonna work you over with some of these coat hangers because I'm also an American Psycho. I'm gonna chase you down the hall with a chainsaw and drop it on your stupid head. I might kill a dog in an alley. Or did I not? I mean, you told me you watched the movie, let me know, or read the book.
Take
I am
my
not
business
done.
Card. It could just be a fever dream.
It's me and Justin Theroux just drinking and eating small food.
You'll get hungry watching that
movie.
Oh,
of course,
though.
It's great.
You want to be at all those fake restaurants. Actually, a couple of them are real.
They go to jail.
Yes.
The movie it takes them way longer to get to jail. Like if the movie's about them being set up, let's get to that immediately.
Well, no? Because they get sent to they get like...
There's a mix-up.
They go to general population.
I don't
this
know who... here's the
prison
thing.
Planet?
I don't believe Jack Palance has the ability to orchestrate all this fucking nonsense.
He's got like the prison system in his pocket. Because again, like we said, the whole thing is they make the deal 18 months in a minimum security prison.
But
all of a sudden they're transferred. They switch buses. They're in a maximum security jail. It looks like garbage.
Insane because they're being... Now they're being walked down into this jail, and
this sequence is insane.
There's like riots going on. The portion of the prison is on fire.
The building is currently on fire.
People, security guards walking around like it's not
a big deal.
But
that's the best part of it.
Is the cherry on the whole fucking thing is that it's fucking Cash's best friend who's the warden of this place. The prison guards aren't crooked. They come in and save him at one point.
Yeah,
it
I
makes
don't know.
Fucking no sense but, whatsoever.
Because it's just a bunch of paperwork flubbing.
But there's fire happening, right? Like the jail has to be like, oh, no one can go in the jail right now because everybody's on fire. But,
exactly. Like on Oz, man, six seasons of Oz. If someone farted, they're shutting the Emerald City the fuck down.
Anybody catch the guy who said he wanted to stuff brown sugar into somebody's
ass?
There's all sorts of asshole.
It's a slew of hilarious rape jokes.
Oh, they take a shower later together.
We get some ass. We get
but
ass
to ass. But they're also talking about each other's dicks. There's like a 5-minute sequence.
I think he refers to it as a peewee.
Yeah, Kurt Russell calls Sylvester Stallone peewee.
Yeah.
Kurt, that was a hilarious improv.
Kurt, not on set, man.
Takes one to know one.
Yeah, I know you are, but what am I? Hey, Jombie, nice dick.
My Johnson is glue. Whatever. Wait, no, it's rubber, and your Johnson's glue. So
Shut up, hang on.
Wait, hang up on that guy. Is he disparaging Kurt Russell's dick?
Hang up on him. Hang up on
him. Get rid of him.
Dude, that dick's got to be great.
Banish him.
But listen, both of those penises in 1989 are fucking fantastic. I feel worried because of that John Rambo movie where he was definitely fucking Juice Stallone. I feel like that wiener and those.
You think he didn't do steroids in the 80s, Andrew? Have you seen a Rocky movie? Like,
look at him.
Well, that's HGH. That is like, that's monkey blood in your eyeballs or whatever else happens.
I mean, his trouser snake is definitely like crippled and nasty.
I mean, at this point, I'm sorry. The entire filming of this movie, his balls ached. Every moment of it all,
like,
I imagine.
It's like they got really tight.
Yeah,
like
there was just a problem.
The sack of the balls is just like tight because of all the steroids.
His testicles look like one of the failed Judge Dredd clones. at the end of Judge Dredd. Where's Armand DeSante in this film?
He's somebody that could have shown up.
Mm-hmm.
He could have been in this.
Instead, we get Zadar. He's in the prison.
Of course he is.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Because they do the thing where it's like, oh man, it's all the guys we sent away over the years. And I'm like, is this the third movie?
Is this the Batman movie?
Oh yes. My God, it's Arkham.
Yeah.
No, it totally, I mean, Steve's right though, because it's like, oh yeah, remember that crazy adventure I had with that criminal? Now he's here. It's like, what is the previous history with these guys? I feel like there's movies
that
here, man.
That guy who said he was going to wear tango like a shirt. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was probably the villain of the first one.
And you know what, Chris Cabin? That is an appropriate prison intimidation. I'm going to wear you like a shirt. Because that's like, whatever, man.
You're going to get butt fucked.
Great. Thank you.
The dumb gay panic rape joke. Like, congratulations.
Oh, it's all over this movie. It's really astounding.
We're looking at butts. We're looking at it. We're talking about it. There's like.
Well, I don't mind looking at butts.
I was actually kind of surprised.
I don't like threatening butts.
I agree.
I could take a nice little look.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not going to start threatening that butt.
What's threatening about the butt cheeks in this movie? There's
well, they're talking about four butt cheeks. Brown sugar in there butts. And whatever else.
I'm talking about shoving my brown sugar in there.
No, I'm talking about the shot when they're walking into the shower, and we're talking legit four butt cheeks from two action stars.
Dude, man, those are great fannies, man. Capital fannies, man.
Capital F fanny.
There's a lot to compare and contrast there.
Oh, there is, I'm sure.
Because Russell's more of a surfer ass. And then
what does that mean? There's a tan line?
Yeah, a little tan line. Not as toned, because Stallone's working out of it. He's running every
cute
day.
Cute little dimples, sure. Maybe?
Oh, yeah.
I got to get that Blu-ray double check.
Mm-hmm. They do make some reference to like Kurt Russell says something like, well, we're going to be doing a lot of hard time in here. You can get to work out every day or something like that.
Because you got, I mean, it's a Sylvester Stallone movie. You got to make a reference to muscles.
Yeah, sure.
So even though Kurt Russell's fucking cut as shit, like, what are you even talking about?
Stallone's cellmate is the aforementioned Clint Howard.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, he straightens Clint Howard out pretty fast.
And I'm actually not even sure if we talk. Why I say I always call him the aforementioned Clint Howard because I'm always talking about him. So if I mention Clint Howard, it's like, oh, yeah, I must
at
have
some
been
point.
Said.
Like,
yeah,
the
some
good
point.
Thing about this movie is it's got like so many people in it.
So many familiar faces. Mm-hmm. You know what's a great Clint Howard thing that I rewatched recently? That episode of Seinfeld when they go to L.A.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And Clint Howard's the dude who's getting arrested. He's in the back seat with them. And he's got the great tete-a-tete where they're talking about what you tip room service.
Yeah.
Fucking great. Clint Howard, good comedic timing.
Absolutely, he's great.
Not a lot to do in this movie, though.
No. He's like playing a crazy guy with the Slinky. I think he might be even credited as Slinky in this film.
Yeah.
And then he becomes Stallone's sub.
He does.
It's really, really weird.
You know,
he like ties them up with slinkies. It's really weird.
You know what's a stupid gag in this movie too? Is like Kurt Russell's like cellmate is a big fat guy.
Yeah.
And they do the gag of like the fat guy's on the top bunk and the mattress is slinking down onto Kurt Russell.
He can't even move over.
And he's like punching him.
It's so dumb.
First night in, wouldn't you know it? I mean, and like here's the thing, Jack Palance.
This is the most impossible part of this movie.
They pull them both out of their cells, and it's like, here's the time when they get killed. And, like, Jack Palance is there with Brian James, and he reveals himself sort of.
Somehow
it's so
they
dumb.
Got into the damn...
They get thrown down laundry chutes.
And, I mean, every single prisoner is there.
Making a whole lot of ruckus.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of grab ass going on. And how are these guards not hearing it?
Yeah, the guards are to come.
But like as far as we know, like the prison geography, like we're still in jail. And then like out of the steamy shadows comes Jack Palance and Brian James, and
Killer
it's like
Croc and what? Harlequin.
It's like you just walked into this jail? What are you talking about?
And then, like, they all come out of the shadows. It's like
it's just like Ninja Turtles.
Like 25 guys here.
It's got to be like the warden or guards are like in on this drug business. I'm sure they're funneling drugs into the prison.
But the movie has to tell you that, though.
You know, maybe there was a lot cut out. Maybe there was a lot that wasn't in the script. I mean, this
what with the four directors and five editors,
and $20 million over budget.
And what a disaster!
Instead of that out,
instead of Palance being like, all right. There's 100 guys down here and 2 guys we need to kill. How about everybody holds them and I cut their fucking heads off? Like, that's easy to do.
Sure.
No. But first, Cash has to make an immigrant joke.
Oh, right.
There has to be that real quick. And then they can get almost killed.
They get beat up a bunch. And then they're like... Because this movie loves Lethal Weapon, by the way, where we're tying them up, and then they're getting dipped into water, and Robert Zadar is electrocuting them, but just a little bit,
just enough.
I'm pretty sure you just get electrocuted.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm almost positive on this. In fact,
yeah, I don't know what that's about.
If your entire foot is in water,
if your entire foot is in water,
you might be a redneck.
You just might be electrocuted.
If Robert Zadar is holding a live wire to a pool, you might just die on impact.
And shit yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, where is the self-defecation? That's like a thing. That. I need turds falling in this water.
And it's not just like a quick shock. It's for like a solid 10 seconds.
And they're doing the stupid thing where it's like they do it until they pass, quote unquote, pass out. And everybody's just hooting and hollering. It's like, no, that dude's dead.
Yeah, also the heart has been roasted.
Put that live wire against his chest and let's call it a day.
Yeah, go home. Mm. Go home.
But that's nothing that you can laugh over.
Sure.
Just the thing.
So instead we have this for fucking like 5 full minutes, and then the warden, Cash's fat friend, I forget the guy's name.
Oh, who knows? Mac. Let's call him Mac.
And all the not bribed guards in the prison save them.
Somebody went around, did roll call, and literally no one was there except Clint Howard.
That jail is cleaned out. And the only reason Clint Howard wasn't there was he was tied to the bedpost with a slinky.
Well, because he was his sub, as we've imagined.
And Ray Fiennes and Kiefer Sutherland, Harvey Keitel are burrowing in the basement.
Basically, the warden is like, yeah, the fix is in. They're going to kill you. The way to escape, the only way out is to escape. Here's a map. They do, right?
Well, they try to, and then they come across, like, there's obstacle courses. My God.
They have to get to the big nose and find the flag.
It's an episode of Nickelodeon's Guts.
And then eventually they're outside this prison, and there's, like, electrical transmitters because, like, we haven't had enough electricity death yet.
I think the prison is located right next to, like, the town's power station.
Even Stallone is, like, commenting on the script. He's like, man, I'm tired of electricity. Like, yeah, I know.
I'm fucking tired of this movie, and we're halfway through.
Can we get some fire? All of a sudden, flames come out of nowhere.
Well, Zadar comes out of nowhere, and, like, they start fighting. And he eventually gets pushed into one of these transmitters.
Oh, he gets fried.
Yeah. It's a crispy
crisp. Zadarbecue.
Pretty good.
I will say one of the reasons I don't like this movie is the gore. There's no gore. There's no action movie death gore. Yeah. He should be a charred, big-faced skeleton.
There needs to be like more blood.
He should have exploded.
Because as I recall,
if we're talking nudity, we're saying the F-word all over the place.
Someone does explode later, which is nice.
That is true.
But this is an R-rated movie, man. Let's get some squibs going. Zadar's head has to pop right off.
Yes, exactly.
Like a little big-chinned firecracker.
Or just put in that Death Star footage and just, you know what I mean? Like, same diff.
What is this, an episode of Muppet Babies?
Yeah, it's got to get, like, hardcore filthy, not just, like, throwing it around here
hardcore
and there.
Hardcore filthy.
I think that was a movie that Robert Zadar starred in.
A lot of heavy motherfuckers everywhere.
So, I mean, there's a zip line course to get off this island or whatever.
You got
to
zip down from the aggro crag. Yeah.
And now they're like, oh, the movie's about us clearing our name, I guess.
This movie's an hour and 43 minutes. So what they have left is the runtime of an episode of The X-Files to fucking finish this movie.
Yes.
And it's just getting started.
It is. And this is when Terry Hatcher becomes a character because she's in one of the first scenes. And you don't know who she is.
Such a stupid setup.
And she's at like a nightclub. Is she like?
She's gonna go on a dance tour.
I've never heard of this thing.
In the beginning of it, she's telling her brother Sly
but
that
that's who is the thing is
Kevin, wealthy.
Yes, he's an independently wealthy cop. But yes,
you don't know that they're brother and sister. You just assume that they're in a relationship because they don't make mention of being brother and sister. And she's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna go on this dance tour." And he's like, I don't know about that.
The grossest thing. She's like, yeah, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
He's gross. And she's like, because you don't know what their relationship is like. And in any context, it's gross. She's like, don't worry. I'll be a good girl.
That's really
and
gross.
Then he goes like, yeah, well, I don't know. Are you going to be a good girl?
Are you going to be a good girl?
But that's
Terry, tell me.
It's not disgusting at the beginning of the movie when the scene is happening.
It's disgusting enough, but yes.
No, because you just assume it's like, all right, like he's got some trust issues, and it's like, are you going to cheat on me, blah, blah, blah. It gets disgusting when you find out in the scene we're pretty much at now that they're indeed brother and sister, because Kurt Russell shows up at her house, and he's like, God, my back hurts.
Well, no, he shows up at her club.
Oh, right. Oh, I forgot about the dance scene.
The famous Tango and Cash dance scene. One of the darkest. Well, I have to say one of the darkest timelines because we're actually currently in the darkest time. Is the late 1980s.
Yes. Big trouble.
Sue Studio is king. You know what I mean? Electric drums everywhere.
Oh, yeah, man. Turn up the yazoo. Let's do it, man.
I'm into it.
Don't go.
They're in the late 80s, like, go-go club, I guess. Because it's not a strip club. She's not shown to be stripping.
No, it's dance. It's like a dance club.
Yeah.
I hear dance club. It's like, you know, there's more than one person dancing.
Well, like, you don't get naked in Flash Dance, do you?
No, I don't think so.
No, you're just, like, sweaty dancing. So this is just sweaty dancing.
Oh, I see. It's a sweaty dance club.
Mm-hmm. I'll get naked in Flash Dance.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, man, you drop that bucket of water on yourself at the end. Yep, and that sound definitely happens.
Oh, yeah, that sound happens a lot.
She's dancing, and she does have her own electric drum solo, which is ridiculous. And she's not good at it either.
No, it's completely out of tune.
It's also hilarious, though, because she's like Kurt Russell's getting into it with the bartender about something, and she's like, Jimmy, the drumsticks. And I was like, drumsticks? And the bartender's like, oh, sorry, lady. And like passes these drumsticks up to her. Cut to, there's just this electric drum set out of nowhere.
Why not put them with the drum set?
Yeah, why does the bartender have to have them? It's very poor planning.
Mm-hmm.
So this number happens. It's a full number, man. This whole song is going.
They paid for all of it,
and
man.
And then it's the late 80s, because you know what's funny is tough guys dressing up like ladies.
That's actually... I just realized that this is another blink and you miss it bit of unnecessary nudity, because Kurt Russell follows her into the ladies' dressing room, and there's just like this topless woman that walks by really quickly.
Yeah.
You're earning that Martin Cinemax R.
That's number two. For you, Mr. Cinemax.
Ah, very good. I will think I might have Donald make you the ambassador to Hollywood.
No, he was going to be like the ambassador to the arts.
Ambassador of the arts, yeah.
Some fucking thing. And like,
but we're gonna dissolve the NEA.
Yeah,
and
so never mind.
It's just going to be, you know what? Every piece of art that's made in this country has to first be approved by the ambassador of the arts, which Stallone turned down. So who knows?
It could be Martin Cinemax himself.
No, I think it's a Jeff Dunham situation.
Oh, nice.
Does this... Oh, okay, Barry Jenkins, you want to make your second feature film? That's fantastic. Or your third feature film, rather. That's fantastic. Are there any racist puppets in this movie? What's that, Barry Jenkins? You won't have any racist puppets in your next movie?
If your painting is just a bunch of colory swirls, you're not getting a grant.
My jalapeno puppet says no.
Jalapeno puppet?
Does Jeff Dunham's jalapeno puppet have a huge mustache and a sombrero?
It does.
On?
No, that's exactly what
it
is.
Oh, wait. I thought
that's
you were
a
making
real
it up.
No, this is...
Oh, he's got a jalapeno puppet.
And it's a Mexican character.
He's
yeah.
the worst
does
comedian of all time.
Does it open up and have a smiley cheese stick inside
no,
of it?
No, he's the worst comedian. With that news that I've just received.
That news that's been in his act for years.
I just knew about Ahmed the Dead Terrorist, and then there's like some crotchety old Jewish puppet.
Yeah.
Wait, there's a Mexican puppet? That's shaped like a pepper.
Yeah, with a sombrero on it.
He's the worst comedian of all time.
Yeah, I mean that'd be great as like a listicle, but it's just like the worst comedians of all time. And you click it, and it's just Jeff Dunham.
22 pictures of Jeff Dunham,
and then Rob Schneider.
If your act consists of a couple of different kinds of racial stereotypes in puppet form, you might be the worst comedian of all time.
Oh, my God.
Listeners at home, I'm now showing Andrew a picture of this.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck?
I think he might have retired that or is about to bring it out of retirement.
Oh, he's bringing it back.
Oh, is there going to be a special show?
He's going to do it live. It's Jeff Dunham live at the wall.
Live at the wall. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Jose Jalapeno.
Goodbye to Jose.
He's the worst comedian.
A benefit show for Jeff Dunham.
And we've been making fun of Gallagher for 2 years.
Look at this shit-eating grin on him in this photo.
Yeah, he's the worst.
That's awful. Mm-hmm. That's awful. That's worse than Tango and Cash.
You know what? Hang up on him.
Yeah. Hang up on that racist puppet.
So they
awful.
So Kurt Russell dresses up like a lady because the cops are circling around.
Oh, they're swarming the place.
One cop asks if you could have a three-way with Kurt Russell and Terry Hatcher, which, by the way, I would do, but he thinks it's two ladies.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, also, we don't know if he thinks it's two ladies. We just know he wants that three-way, which is
It's amazing because the start of this is like Terry Hatcher's like, I know how to get out of here. Her solution, the first part of the solution, before Kurt Russell comes out in drag, she's dressed up like the murderer from Nightmare Beast.
She is.
She walks out like a leather motorcycle jumper and the helmet's on. I was like, what? This movie's taking a turn for the better.
And then this movie preemptively rips off the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie because we get a D-bomb, which is a lesbian slur about somebody being on a motorcycle, which happens in both this movie when Terry Hatcher's on a motorcycle and in the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie when she gets on a motorcycle.
Is Paul Rubin saying that in that movie? Who's making that call?
It's just some guy who's
Is it Jeff Dunham?
It's some guy whose motorcycle she steals. motorcycles. So it's basically any time a woman gets on a motorcycle before 1998, that makes you a lesbian, and it makes me allowed to say the D-bomb.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Hey, sure, man.
Kurt Russell, you think he watched Some Like It Hot before this scene was filmed?
Yeah, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he's a fan of old Hollywood. I'm sure he's got a great movie collection.
That's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
And
then he goes to...
So they go to the house. There's a massage scene here.
Because apparently his back hurts, and like Stallone comes in. And again, you think that she's his girlfriend.
So, yeah.
And it looks like she's fucking him.
There's this but thing where he's like...
So
is it,
stupid,
it's
so stupid,
it's really fucking dumb.
Because she's like getting like... She's making sex noises, and she's giving him a massage, which doesn't
and
make
she's
sense.
Saying right. like sex things.
Well, because...
Like,
supposedly... supposedly, like, though, Kurt Russell has a slip disc, so she's like, oh, like it's sliding back in.
But here's
is it
thing.
In? Is it in? Yeah.
Why would she be aroused by slip discs?
Because she's not just saying that. She's like, oh, it's it. And you're like, what are we doing?
And still like, what? I hope Jeffrey Lewis breaks up this sexy scenario.
Which he does.
He certainly does.
He bursts in on
and
this
he's
whole
like,
thing.
He gives them this weird timeline. He's like, you've got 24 hours to clear your names. Goodbye, movie. Bye.
Well, that is the word. There are a series of horrible jokes throughout this thing. And the worst of them all is Stallone barreling out of the screen door with what's his name?
Jeffrey Lewis.
Jeffrey Lewis on the other side. Gets on the floor. Stallone gets up. What does he say? Do you screen all your guests like this?
Oh wow, that
I wanted
stinks.
To set fire to my house.
We could fill 2 hours with these stinkers.
There's really, so many bad so many. Jokes.
There's nothing but it's all puns and like off the cuff repartees.
Like,
but no,
I want to be killed by an American jerk off. I remember that.
Yeah,
one.
That's happening later.
I don't want an immigrant jerk off to kill me.
To
that's what
move they, things along. This is around when they get that they check in with. Like Kurt Russell's Q.
It's the dude who owns the hotel in...
he freezes to death in Scrooge.
Yes.
He's also Itchy from Dick Tracy, I believe.
Oh, is he? He's what's the Patrick Swayze movie we did? Next of Kin.
Yes.
I believe he runs the Flophouse in Next of Kin.
Yes.
He's a
that
good
right.
little character actor you've seen pop up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
so
Michael
he,
Pollard?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
There we go.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Michael J. Pollard. And he is like... He's the Q of the LAPD.
Yeah.
And he builds a supercar, and it's like this super van that you'd imagine like McGruff the crime dog
or
uses
Mr.
to kill
T
people.
Should be driving.
Or Bill Murray and Harold Ramis are going across the line.
It's the Inspector Gadget car that turns into a van.
Or it's going to put the LAPD out of business because it's such a super, like maybe it's automated by itself. It's driven by a robot.
Yeah, they
I
did.
Don't know, whatever it is.
out of business, by the way, because
they
are for
like
profit.
It's not like they bought it from the army like they do now. Yeah. It's just that they fucking built it in-house.
It's amazing, but like he's also got like so. What's weird about this movie is they're wanted criminals who have broken out of jail. There's way too much walking around the streets, including when Kurt Russell literally walks into this like police owned and operated tech division, and he's just like, "What's going on, Michael J. Pollard?" The dumbest gag here is he's like, "Here's a home security thing I'm working on for the elderly," and it's like a clearly fake dog. And a thing pops out of its mouth, and then it explodes. Yeah. It's so
stupid. By the movie way, couldn't be a clean 90 minutes.
No, not at all.
No.
And neither can this episode. So
hang up on that guy.
They already went to the sound lab, and they got the proof that the tape that they were convicted on was doctored. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Now you've cleared your name.
Exactly.
Yeah, you don't have to go and indiscriminately kill everyone in the mafia.
Well, because it's even when Stallone goes to Papa Larroquette's house.
Papa Arquette.
Or Arquette, excuse me.
Not John Larroquette's dad.
Oh, yeah. Well, that dude was long in the ground by the time this movie was made. Maybe. I don't know. Literally. But yeah, so Papa Arquette's house. And he's like the crooked FBI guy and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, listen, the guy like rolls over instantly. And he's like, no, fuck it. Like, I'll say whatever you want. It's fine. We'll cut a deal. That's it. That right there, the movie's over with.
Yes.
Like, here's this guy who brought them in, who's going to like sing
It's over with. It's all over with. And Stallone is like,
nah, I prefer to do things my way, which is illegal revenge.
Doesn't he? Is he the one who gets car bombed?
Yes, that, oh man, that dude gets lit up.
I will say, speaking of Arquette, and this episode is coming out after the Academy Awards. We're taping it before the Academy Awards. Alexis Arquette is totally getting fucking Dennis Farina'd.
You think so? She's going to get Farina'd?
That's my guess.
Okay.
We'll see. Well, you know the answer, actually, audience. I don't. Because I'm in the past.
I'm still with Robert. I think Robert Vaughn.
You might be fucking Farina'd by the time this airs.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Do not worry about Steven Seagal.
Oh, no.
We'd get totally Farina'd at the podcast awards, mainly because who's attending?
Hang up on that guy. But yeah, so the last act is, yes, they get this supercar. They do harass Brian James a bit, who's doing an awful accent in this movie.
I thought he was Australian in
I did too.
Yeah. And then it turns out he's Irish or
Cockney.
English.
I thought it was Cockney. I mean, who could tell?
I looked it up. He claimed to be doing a Cockney accent.
Oof.
And this was not known
for his voice work, no. Brian James.
And well, the whole Stallone was sold on it. Yeah. Stallone was like, this was a small like villain role, and then he heard that terrible accent. It was like, baby, I gotta have more of that. And then,
I'm triple downing on it, man.
He supposedly rewrote the script and gave him more love. What the fuck are you talking about? Bad decisions got the best of you.
But okay, now you get to watch him blow up.
And well, there's this thing where, yeah, they have like, they put a grenade in his mouth and like they're trying to get information out of him. And like Kurt Russell's like, you fell for the worst trick in the book, man. Bad cop, insane cop. And I'm like throwing up. I threw up on my table.
It was like a fun enough scene if this movie was more, I don't know, contained or I don't know. It just,
so many focus whatsoever.
Exactly. If it had one director.
Yes. It feels so disjointed.
Let's start with one director.
So they and this is when we finally see, I guess, Jack Palance. Not only when did he make a rat maze, Chris, he made a maze.
I made a dookie, finally.
A dune buggy maze outside of his compound.
It's a level
from Mario Kart.
It is. It's the Wario level from Mario Kart 64.
Totally right.
And there's a rainbow road coming in here?
No, I don't want any rainbows here. Get unless they lead to Asgard. Get Wario on the line.
Man, you know what? It's a shame that Jack Palance has been dead for years, because could you imagine him in a Thor movie?
Dude, why not? Just do it. Tarkin him.
Oh, shit.
Hey, they let the gates out. Yeah, and they shut down the reactor of the Hollywood Cemetery.
Let the gates out.
So anyone could be in anything now.
That's a good point.
Wow, that's a cool idea for a movie.
So, but yeah, it's like there's dirt everywhere, and it's like it's as if Jack Palance, or maybe he does because he's very, very hip to stuff. He's like, they're going to steal a supercar and try and infiltrate my facility.
What are the odds that he was able to predict they stole a car that was also kind of a big dune buggy?
If I could just get in that bathroom, I've been jiggling the handle, but no one. I've been knocking very loudly, but no one's saying anything. Wait a minute. Is your name Jimmy? I think they're calling you Macchiato. Better step out of line.
Yeah,
I've already shit my pants, but I'm ready for round two. Clean up duty. I shit my pants at a Chipotle because I threw out my receipt and I didn't know what the code was. Also because I ate at Chipotle.
Isn't that the dumbest thing? Because just go up and be like, hey man, what's the bathroom code? And guaranteed 1,000 out of 1,000 Chipotle employees will tell you the fucking bathroom code without a stupid receipt.
It's not Fort Knox. It's fine.
It's a public bathroom at a Chipotle. There is nothing to protect.
Precisely.
It's disgusting.
You're keeping filth in, is what you're doing.
Contain the fucking filth.
So yeah, there's all. By the way, there's a cameo in this scene. In case you guys are wondering.
Oh,
Bigfoot shows up.
Oh, right.
The monster truck Bigfoot is for some reason repainted.
Why? What's the point of having a Bigfoot if you're not going to show him?
Yeah, exactly. If Bigfoot can't appear in his classic blue glaze.
And also,
what are we talking about?
Okay, what we're talking about is Gravedigger said no.
Oh, definitely.
I called for Gravedigger. Turn me down. That Gravedigger will pay. Said no. I'm going to take it out on Bigfoot. Make him have a paint job. Look at that. Truckzilla wishes he was here.
If you're making a movie and Gravedigger says no,
it might be Tango and Cash.
Definitely Gravedigger said no. Gravedigger was busy.
Can I tell you, one time I went to a monster truck show.
Oh, really?
It was terrible. Mm-hmm. But what they did was, and this was in Albany, New York, and what they did, like halfway through this show, some dude got on the PA and they were like, spotted over the Albany airport is an unidentified flying object.
Oh, fuck.
Heading towards the arena. And I was like, I was a little kid. I was like, what the fuck?
Pterotructal.
Oh, my wish.
But then it was this fucking whatever the fuck, Truckosaurus or whatever the thing was. And it's like, oh no, they tracked it right. It's Truckosaurus. And then this big fucking stupid thing comes out. Man, there are ways to waste money, and there are monster truck show ways to waste money. Oh, my Lord.
Well, are those free Saturday? I have a couple detectives dropping by. Wait, have they defeated my demolition derby?
It's so stupid. They're driving around. They both have like super guns and are shooting stuff.
It's outrageously dumb.
This could have been Contra. This could have been Contra.
This could have been the Contra movie. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Steve's point, continue it because the action does suck.
The action just sucks. I'm sorry. Like, I don't. It's all practical, which is nice. Yeah, thank you so much. My eloquent point, my dissertation on Tango Cars. The action kind of sucks.
That's hang up on him.
Oh, man. That's his thesis statement.
I mean, it's like whatever. I mean, I don't know. Like again, we're not seeing a lot of people dying. No one gets run over by this monster truck. What are we talking about?
Why
here?
Are you hiring fucking Bigfoot in the first place if Bigfoot ain't gonna run nobody down?
No, it's just a bunch of explosions.
Well, that must have been in Bigfoot's rider. Like Bigfoot can be an evil truck, but Bigfoot will not take anyone's life.
Now, let me tell you the story about me watching this movie last night.
Uh huh.
So I've seen this movie.
Did you recognize Bigfoot?
No, I didn't. I read that on the Tribune just like you did.
Is that Gravedigger? No, it's
Bigfoot. Oh, God, Bigfoot's here? Oh, Gravedigger must have said no. No, I've seen this movie before, and I didn't care for it the last time I saw it. And I watch it, and I am falling the fuck asleep during
the movie. Of course you would.
It is a struggle. So much so, I am sitting upright. I fell asleep, like, my back not to anything. I'm just upright on the edge of the couch. I, like, dropped my phone. I passed out. I woke up, though, and it's like there's all this fire happening and they're shooting shit. And I was like, wait, what? What? I mean, you sleep on this movie for a second and it changes what movie it is. Like,
there's a new director. There's a new director, a new editor, and maybe a new film score guy.
And maybe the dude who owns Bigfoot is directing.
So they get out of this thing and now they're in his facility.
Yeah, it's like this mob complex and they're just gunning people down. They run across Brian James again, which is fun.
By the way, they kill James Hong immediately. He doesn't even say anything.
It's unbelievable. He gets shot through like a two-sided mirror.
And some other guy gets the other guy gets killed too.
They're $20 million over budget. They're rushing to get done. Yeah, this.
Seriously. Sorry, kill him. Yeah, sorry, James Hong. Your chest is going.
Hurry
to
up! We just got to get to the high five.
Oh, we'll get there.
But yes, so Brian James shows up. He's kidnapped Terry Hatcher because, of course, she's been kidnapped bait this entire time.
She's in the movie to dance, play electric drums, mm-hmm. and then be kidnapped. And also give Kurt Russell a back massage.
So then you get your little fight sequence, and it ends with Kurt Russell putting a grenade down Brian James's pants.
Yes.
Which is good.
Yeah.
And he explodes.
Which is also
great.
Good. Yeah.
But we don't. Which is also good. I kind of want to see. It is great. Mm-hmm. To your point, it is great. He goes down a stairwell, but he disappears out of view, and then the explosion happens.
I think you see a couple chunks.
Okay.
I think maybe it's like clothing chunks, maybe. I don't think you see
No, like
pure
I need
blood
like
explosion.
A stump.
I need like fucking bones flying out.
I kind of want Brian James to look down like, oh, no.
no! And it inerts!
You need that. You also, here's how you do it though. Slow-mo that fucking skullet with the ponytail just falling to the ground. It's the only thing that's left. Because we've been mentioning that he has
a
ponytail.
It's on fire a little bit.
Yes. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's singed.
Dude, singeing.
But we've mentioned the ponytail. We have not mentioned the fact that this ponytail is the byproduct of a fucking skullet that is in full force.
Yeah.
Full force skullet.
I didn't want to bring it up and like embarrass him.
He's long dead. Who cares?
But he's great. I love him.
And then a door opens. It is. It's like Contra.
It's
like,
a video game.
I'm the last master.
And do you see? This is really stupid.
Oh, Cabin, good job.
Okay, so Terry Hatcher is now immediately a hostage again.
She's a female, so of course she's going
to. But you know what? The only person that can happen to is Princess Peach.
Exactly. Oh, you're going to jump over my back and hit the axe. I'm going to fall in a bunch of fire.
Why did Bowser keep leaving that axe by that rope that was holding the bridge?
Bad idea, Bowser. Really? Figure it out.
How'd you
get
to be the fucking king of anything, you moron?
Because he had a head about him, you know? It's always ego with these guys.
So we're ripping off the end of Lady from Shanghai, by the way.
And Enter the Dragon as well, right? Or which maybe Enter the Dragon.
Lady from Shanghai is a very old Orson Welles movie.
Do they both end with a killer headshot?
Yes. Man, does Palance get it?
But I guess you're talking about the Funhouse Mirror.
Yeah. I do feel like this movie saw Enter the Dragon. I don't know if it saw.
They didn't see the Orson Welles film. No, they saw Enter the Dragon.
Yes,
but what I didn't understand: how does he know which one Palance is in this situation?
They kind of say it really quick. So there's this. It's Jack Palance. He's like and he's got Terry Hatcher, who's gagged, and you know because. She ain't allowed to talk. And
well, she's gagged, but oddly,
she
though, she's...
She definitely has to be gagged.
She's playing the electric drums while gagged, which is so weird.
One side. Finish off Tango and Cash. I will finally have time to take that shit. Next, it's Depeche Mode.
Oh, shit. The mice are using the bathroom.
Ripley's, believe it or not, mice using the can.
That was always great about Palance doing that because you could tell. Like, here's the thing, and I've been talking about it a lot on Twitter, this new rabbit hole I've fallen down, which is obsessively watching Unsolved Mysteries on Amazon Prime. Robert Stack is in full force. They got at least two seasons of this shit. Robert Stack, in those show intros and outros, was concerned and wanted to include you in solving a mystery.
He's terrifying. He's also like a ghost or
it's
something.
Fucking bone chilling.
He's always wearing a trench coat and just a jacket with a bunch of buttons. Yes. Either a trench coat proper or a jacket with a bunch of buttons.
It's a suit jacket where you're like, why are there four buttons holding this closed?
Yeah.
But with Robert Stack, it was like, tonight, you might be able to help solve a mystery. And I'd be like, fuck yeah! Palance, it's like, well, you can believe it or not. I don't give a fuck. What the fuck am I doing?
Did I just waste your time or not?
Was that mermaid real? I don't care.
Look at me giving a fuck. I'll see you at Madame Tussauds Wax Museum.
Stack was the better host.
Oh, I'll see you in hell. That latch on the bathroom is half green, which is vacant, and half red, which is occupied. I keep knocking and knocking. Believe it or not, I shit on the floor. Some fuck is sleeping in there. There are homeless shelters for that. Go sleep in a church. I gotta shit. Somebody give me a shovel.
Then he runs into like a confessional in a church. It's Robert Stack just fucking late. Not Robert Stack. Him too. Maybe he's the
tonight,
priest.
Tonight, I shit in a confessional.
I want a t-shirt of Jack Palance that says, go sleep in a church. That's what I want. That's the shirt that
while
I'm
while yelling at a semi-locked door.
So whatever. They shoot. But yes, to your point, like, there's this gag where they're like, we should take his kneecaps out for some reason. And they both shoot him in the head.
Oh, right.
And it's like, oh, I missed. Like, yeah, I missed him too. And they both have different reasons. One's like, oh, because of, I noticed the reflection was doing this. And then like,
okay.
Stallone's well, like, I noticed something else too, whatever. End of the movie.
All these like back optics things. I mean, I got to call Neil deGrasse Tyson. I don't know if any of this is accurate.
He should fact check this.
He probably should. Fact check that supercar.
I'm tweeting here, you know, a bazooka boot wouldn't actually work in real life.
Blow his leg right off.
Where would the missile go? And is he holding it between his toes? Preposterous.
Hang up on that guy.
Yeah, I would hang
ridiculous.
Up on Cosmos himself.
I do feel like if Neil deGrasse Tyson wasn't Neil deGrasse Tyson, he would literally, and Twitter didn't exist, he would be calling into radio shows and be like, I saw a Starkiller Base just doesn't make any sense. And they're like, oh, hang up on that guy.
Exactly. I thought we were supposed to screen these calls.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of it. Like, he's dead. They save the day. There's all sorts of laughing about, I'm going to fuck your sister.
Well, the facility blows up.
Oh, right. There's a bomb?
There's a self-destruct thing that, it's insane. It's like mob complex will self-destruct in 30, 29, 28. It's like, what happened? Is that maybe once the mice get to the cheese, it sets it off?
Oh, fuck. They actually did
wait,
it.
Wait.
I'm 68 years old. There's no way I'm getting out of
you want a self-destruct button on this thing?
Yeah.
You know how much those fuckers are?
It's a maze table with a bomb in it.
How big you want the bomb?
Is that supposed to be the same office, though? Like where his great wall of TVs
is?
Yeah.
We do see that.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Needs to take out a city block.
Are you serious?
That's right. I'll live on in wax form.
All right, then.
Does he have a Madame Tussauds?
I guarantee it. They might have moved it. They might have got rid of it because it's not popular.
The one in Texas does.
Let me tell you, if you've ever paid money to go to a Madame Tussauds, congratulations on wasting $30 a ticket.
I paid money to go to a wax museum.
Congratulations on wasting $30
a ticket. Cheaper, but it was a wax museum in the city of Monterey, California.
Oh.
And it was like,
they were all melted?
Yeah, pretty much. It was like, here's the history of Monterey. And it was like it was like a dingy basement that smelled. And it was like clearly made in like the 70s or 80s. And no one has ever been there since I showed up.
Oh, really?
And it was really weird because you press the buttons and they'd be like, they'd talk to you and be like, hey, partner. And it was like the wrong things were talking. And it was like,
do you get hepatitis?
I haven't checked yet, but maybe, probably.
You should probably get that checked out.
They even had a brothel wax, like there's like a wax girl like breathing heavy on a bed, and it's just like.
Did you get chlamydia?
Oh, fuck! The toilet seat's missing. Ah, I don't want to use it to get hepatitis, but I just might have to.
Time to squat.
I've been waiting for an hour and a half.
Okay, Palins.
Better hover.
Just like you're protecting an egg.
I'm going to hold on to... You're going to hatch soon. I'm going to hold on to the light fixture like Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon.
But yeah, so he's like, I'm going to fuck your sister. By the way, the newspapers love Tango.
Well,
and oh my God.
The high five. It's one of the best high fives I've ever seen.
But like even before, they're like, Tango and Cash in prison? Question mark.
We are using newspapers as transition effects through
fuck
this whole movie.
You.
It is terrible.
Because with Cash like busted somebody with 200 kilos of whatever.
Yep. It's just he made
just
a bust and there's
kilos.
200 kilos. I mean, this is like some Dick Tracy shit.
Yes,
man,
exactly.
It's so stupid.
200 kilos of the stuff.
So they give a high five, and the last shot of the movie is the front page. I think it's them and Jeffrey Lewis. It is Tango and Cash, heroes again,
best friends ever.
Whatever.
They're setting this up like it's going to be a franchise.
Yeah, it's not an abhorrent sequel setup situation.
But it's there.
But it's
the
there.
The door is wide
it's
open.
It's like, you know what? This might feel like the third movie, but we're going to get at least six more of these bad boys.
Because they can go to New Orleans, right? They
should have been in New Orleans in the first place. Come on.
That's like the end of the movie, right?
That's the end of the movie.
I do have something I want to read real quick.
Oh, please.
I don't know if this is going to pay off or not, but if you're listening to this, the IMDb message boards have already been taken down.
Oh, no. Oh,
right. R.I.P. the boards.
Last week.
This is the thing I was going to ask you about, though.
Is Terry Hatcher hot? Or is she not? I mean, like, everybody thinks she is, but she's not. I'm going to get on the internet, and I think women are less attractive than people say they are, and people need to know about it.
I was actually wondering if Eric was heading up, like, a team of hackers saving as much of the IMDb message.
No, honestly, I want them to go down.
This is my question, though. Yeah. I know they're taking the boards down, which is fine.
This is our in memoriam.
But are we losing user reviews?
I don't think so.
Because if we are, our live show format's fucked.
I'm sure they'll still do
it. I think the user reviews are staying. But yeah, actually, I heard someone say like they were bummed out because they're such a great resource. I was like, what are you talking about?
Hatred and bigotry?
Exactly. And here's going to be what these things were for future people.
Oh, right. This is good, dude. This is time capsule shit.
Right, exactly. So the subject line of this message board post is, gay overtones? Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
Uh-huh. Oh, all right.
Tango asks his command officer if he is proposing to him after he arrives back to the station after the first bust.
He does.
Then he and Cash have comparison check while in the showers of prison. And Tango says, I just do not know that you well enough after Cash pretends that he wants to just get soap. I can understand protecting your sister, but Tango also seemed a little jealous that Cash was doing something very pleasurable with his sister. I think that Tango want to be on top of that whole ordeal.
Is Hole spelled H-O-L-E?
No, it's spelled right, surprisingly.
Oh, wow. That's, yeah.
There are more overtones, but you have to see it. Was Cash gay or just too damn well-dressed for a cop? Someone please explain it to me.
First of all, yeah, it's a real tragedy. This shit's getting shut down.
And how was he that well-dressed? He's just wearing...
Tango is the well-dressed one.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Turns out this is written by an idiot.
But even still, he just wore a suit. That doesn't make you gay. I mean, like, gay men wear suits. Gay men don't wear suits.
Straight men wear suits.
Straight men wear lots of suits.
Ladies wear suits. Everyone wears suits. I've seen a goddamn monkey wear a suit.
And that was the best Academy Awards we've ever been to.
But to be, yeah, I mean, like, this is what we're missing. We're missing this conversation.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm. And there's tons of posts debating this.
Of course, some
people like reply to this guy and we're like, well, maybe you the one that is gay of this. And then he's just like, ha ha, no, why is it you gays like to think that me, straight guy, it goes into that territory.
Oh.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
You know what we're
what
doing?
What are we doing?
You know what we're doing?
Hang up on him.
He card read good.
There was a My Father the Hero thread that somebody sent me after we did that episode. They're like, oh, get it while you can. And it was just basically like some guy being like, yeah, it's kind of weird that they're showing this girl's ass. And everyone's like, well, why are you looking, man? And like then other people were like, hey, man, grass on the field, ..
Oh.
Please shoot me in the head.
That's an interesting take on that.
Yeah, exactly. If there's grass on the field, please fucking end my life.
That is exactly how that sentence should end.
That's Tango and Cash from 1989, directed by Andrei Konchalovsky and several other people. Big thanks to what's-his-face?
Lawrence.
Lawrence.
Oh, by the way, I will not recommend your movie, Lawrence.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, right.
No, go away.
I think it might be an okay hangover movie.
It is, yeah.
It goes there, yeah. But I mean, it is kind of just, it's dull, but it's not bad. I mean, it's bad.
It's a bad movie, but
it's not dull.
It's a cultural watch it because you like Kurt Russell, you like Stallone, and it's like, well, they did a movie together, which I think was a bad pairing to begin with.
It was.
But they have butts.
And seeing is believing, Chris, so thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much a hangover movie that I was indeed much like a hangover, like going in and out of consciousness.
Sure.
And I still was able to follow most of it. So, yeah, not recommend. Possible hangover movie.
Possible.
Yeah.
And these will be coming up, by the way, these Patriot. We got a couple of these, so yeah. We'll always call out the
gentle
Patriot.
Yes, we're
going to
honor,
Patriot.
Obviously, the people
all
that
our obligations.
Of course. Exactly, yeah. You will not be left behind. So, yeah. For more We Hate Movies, check out WHMPodcast.com or check us out over at the HeadGum Network page. Check out the slew of great shows on our network. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We are at WHM Podcast and write into the ye old mailbag. WeAllHateMovies@gmail.com. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate it. Next week on the program, what are we doing?
We're doing the beginning of Listener Request Month.
That's correct.
With The Last Airbender.
Ooh.
Shyamalan Town, we're going back.
Man, we are like making our way through this dude's filmography. Yeah. There's not much left.
Well, Split still has to happen, sure.
Oh,
I heard good things, but
oh, really? I heard good things as well.
It's kind of a thing that split the room.
Oh.
I've heard bad, I've heard good, so I don't know. But Last Airbender, I think, Steve, you're the only one that's seen it in this room.
Oh,
or Cabin,
I've
you checked it out? Yes. Cabin, do you own it on special edition Blu-ray?
I do not.
Ultra 4K HD?
Triple disc.
Do not. It's it's a piece of shit.
Did anyone see it in theaters?
I did.
I did
wow.
not.
Wow.
I did, yeah.
What?
Oh, my God, one for Last Airbender, please.
No, I was on a date with my now fiance. Thank you very much.
Oh, boy.
Boy, you must not like her.
We don't like each other.
Oh, okay. That's much more romantic.
So until next week, when Listener Request Month kicks off on We Hate Movies, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadek.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.